We came across this next story, and it's a new book that's been released, and it just captured our imaginations immediately. It is the summer of 1959. Jerry Craft is home during the summer helping out his parents while he's away from college. And he gets a phone call from a baseball recruiter. I mean, imagine how exciting that must be. You get a phone call from a semi-pro baseball recruiter saying, come try out for our team. You're a great athlete. He couldn't wait. And he gets in his car. He drives down there to go to tryouts. He gets there, and everyone at the tryouts is black.
Huh?
Jerry Craft, noticeably white. He drives away. He thinks he's at the wrong place, right?
Right.
Okay, this can't be the right place. It's 1959.
Yeah.
Then after going to a couple other places, he comes back and he realizes he was at the right place. It turns out that the recruiter didn't mention that the team was the all-black team in the West Texas Colored League, and he became the first white player to join that league and the first, I believe, in the Jim Crow South. His new book is called Our White Boy, and Jerry Craft joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So when this recruiter called, you really had no idea that what this team, he told you the name of the team, but you didn't know it was part of the Colored League.
No, and I'd played semi-pro baseball for several years here in West Texas and thought I knew every one of the semi-pro teams, and I hadn't heard of this one, and I hadn't heard who they were going to play on Sunday either, and a very good reason for that.
Well, when you tried out and they offered you a place on the team, did you hesitate before taking it?
Oh, yes. In fact, quite frankly, had I known it was an all-black team, I wouldn't have gone. It was, you know, Texas was entirely segregated at that point, and you just didn't do that.
So why did you take a spot on the team?
I'd already driven 120 miles, and I thought, you know, actually the manager, who was a very bright, very good man, and when I told him I didn't think I wanted to do this, he said, well, Mr. Craft, our black friends in your hometown tell us you're not a prejudiced man, are you? Well, he played the race card against me real quick, and he had me in, right, so what was I going to say? Well, of course I'm not. Well, good. Go down there and warm up and start pitching, you know. And I said, all right, I'll try you one game. And I thought, you know, I've already come this far. I'll play one game, and then I'll never come back.
And in
but
your
I
book,
did for 2 years.
In your book, you talk about that first game and how that was really kind of an icebreaker, not just for you, but for your teammates as well.
They essentially really didn't want me on the team. These people, you know, had played in their own world for years, and the idea of having a white man on the team, they didn't know I was coming. The manager had already scouted me the year before in pitching in the All Belt League, and they had a wonderful ball club, but not much pitching. And he said, that's the man we need. The problem is he's white, and we're going to have to get by that. So they did.
And then you won the game, and what happened?
When I struck out the side in the ninth inning, all the black fans came pouring out of the stands, and I told my wife later I knew how Custer must have felt. I thought, what in the world is going to happen? And they picked me up on their shoulders, rode me around the ballpark, gave me a cold beer, and the manager, Mr. Sedbury, ran up to me and shouted and said, Mr. Craft, will you play for us again? And I said, Mr. Sedbury, I'm yours. And so I was for 2 years.
And for 2 years, you traveled with this team. And what is really remarkable about your story is that you then saw what Jim Crow really meant in the South in a way that you had no idea as a white guy.
That's true. I stepped into a world I didn't even know existed. And I suffered just a little bit of the injustices that they had suffered all their lives.
What kind of injustices did they suffer while they were touring?
Well, we couldn't use a bathroom, for one thing. You know, I mean, it was all white establishments. Blacks weren't allowed to use a bathroom, so we had to utilize bridges and lone country lanes. There were no fast food restaurants at that time, so there was no way to get any food, so we'd pool our money. I would go into a grocery store and get us sandwich makings for us to eat on the trip. When we would play in tournaments, we slept in our cars because they weren't allowed to stay in a motel. That's just part of it.
Jerry Craft, have you ever met Jackie Robinson?
No.
because, I mean, the comparison is fairly obvious, but you must feel a lot of kinship with him, not only the racial crossover, but playing on a team that didn't necessarily want you, but you stayed anyway, and then eventually winning them over and not only confronting all the racial issues.
I've been called Jackie Robertson in reverse, but that's kind of flattering. But
you don't buy it? You don't buy it, though?
No, I don't. I was really not out to break any color barriers. I love to play baseball, and so did these gentlemen, and we weren't really trying to make a statement. I'm sure we did, looking back on it now, but we were just playing ball.
But it was also heartbreaking for you, as from what I understand, your family didn't react well to your decision to play with the team.
Of course not. Why would they at that point? And they were shocked that I was playing for a black team. And my dad always came to the games and watched me, and was such a baseball fan, and had been a wonderful baseball player. And we'd love to discuss, everybody's batting stats and so forth. And when I got in from the first game, he said, "How did it go, son?" "Well, we won." "And how good a team are you?" I said, "The best team, high school or college, I've ever played with." And I said, "They're just one thing, they're black." He said, "Black? My God, you're playing for a black team?" I said, "Yes, sir." "Well, I hope you're never going back." And I said, "No, I'm going to play with them." And so for 2 years, he never watched me play.
He never came to any of your games?
No, he wouldn't.
How did this end up affecting the rest of your life?
I had a lot more empathy for anybody of any other race, and particularly the injustices it suffered. For a while there, I guess I was a leading liberal in this little town. So
maybe in all of Texas, sir.
No, I don't think so.
Well, but you went on to actually make connections. You stayed lifelong friends with the men from this team.
Oh, I've kept those friendships, and particularly about 5 or 6 years ago, we started meeting for breakfast and lunch quite frequently, and we started writing down our memories of the game. Some they could remember, some I couldn't, and so that's how the book got started. Now there's just two of us left, the center fielder, Clarence Rabbit Miles, and myself.
Well, it is a really great book. It's called Our White Boy. Jerry Kraft was the first white player in the West Texas Colored League. He talks all about his time in his new book called Our White Boy. Thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Kraft.
Thank you for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.